Why does everything always happen to me? Life isn't fair. Everything is terrible. We all have these thoughts from time to time, but when we allow them to persist, our pity parties become lifelong events that steal our energy, rob us of joy, and keep us focused on our problems. We're getting real about the dangers of self-pity and talk openly about how our habits of complaint and negativity feed into this destructive habit. We want to be resilient problem solvers, so we wrap it up today with tips, truths, and our need to turn our eyes upward instead of inward if we want to rid ourselves of self-pity for good. Thanks for being here. Hi, I'm Becky, the host of the Girl on a Hill podcast, where we encourage you to stop hiding, start shining, and to be the woman you were created to be. You can download Girl on a Hill podcast on your favorite podcast app, such as Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, and Spotify. Thanks for listening, and now let's head to the hill. Hey, welcome to Girl on a Hill and our spring cleaning series. I've got Jolene and Crystal with me today.
Hi.
We're talking about self-pity.
Whoop.
Yep, but we are not having a pity party.
No.
That is not a party I want to be invited
forward
to.
From self-pity.
Now,
cleaning it out.
Oh, well, let's hope so. I want to say it's normal to feel sad or upset about the challenges we face. Mm-hmm. But when we let those thoughts persist, they turn to self-pity, which is a damaging thought pattern that can interfere with living a healthy, satisfied life.
Right.
It's trapping. It traps you in a negative cycle of thoughts. It keeps you stuck in sadness. Who wants to be stuck in sadness?
No. That sounds miserable.
And we get convinced there's no way out.
Mm-hmm.
It may feel harmless to wallow a bit and think about how unfair life is. But self... We all been there. But self-pity quickly and quietly becomes a limiting mindset and a way of life.
Oh, no, no, no.
I don't want this. I don't want this. So let's get through it. Definitions today.
Okay.
BetterUp.com. Self-pity is the negative mental headspace we can get into when we're feeling low. This self-directed sadness often makes us feel worse or act as a cry for help, hoping others will notice and console us.
Mm.
Doesn't that feel fun? Self-directed sadness.
Yeah.
Because the world's not doing a good enough job. Oh my gosh, I love this. DesiringGod.com said self-pity is a sulky and familiar tyrant.
Oh man.
God.
It is a tyrant.
It is a tyrant and it's sulky. The dictionary finally went back to you. Excessive self-absorbed unhappiness.
Ow. That's a good definition.
Over one's own troubles. Yeah. Excessive self-absorbed unhappiness.
That's what it is, right?
Yeah.
We've all been there.
I threw in when our inconveniences, negative experiences, and problems become the focal point of our life.
Yay.
Mm. Want to hear some traits?
Yeah.
Sure.
Because we all really want to be this person.
Yeah. We've all been this person, though, before we get into traits, I'm sure.
Number one, why does everything bad always happen to me?
Okay.
And I feel like it had to be said in that voice.
I don't know if there's another way to say
no.
That.
No.
That
is
self-pity's
voice.
That's how my mental voice says it.
I'm going to say this too. Self-pity uses a lot of superlatives. It's always, always, never.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It says things like, this isn't fair. Guess what? Life's not fair and then you die. My dad used to say that to me all the time.
I was going to say, my dad. My dad just... Yep.
Life isn't fair. Everyone and everything is out to get me. Isn't this a fun way to live?
Yeah. Felt that as a teenager for sure.
This one is interesting. Prone to buy into conspiracy theories.
Oh. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you believe everything and everyone is out to get you.
Yeah. Oh, that's weird. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Seeks out those who put up with your complaining.
Well, yeah.
Please don't come find me. Constructive feedback feels like personal judgment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Pessimistic.
Mm-hmm.
Dwells on past hardships or current difficulties.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Obsessively thinks about their problems.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Yep. I'm good at that.
excess anger and frustration over any given situation. Mm. Excess.
Right.
Seeks constant validation. Mm-hmm. Generally a melancholy person.
Yeah.
Yeah, someone who's self pity isn't, I don't see them as like Little Mary Sunshine.
Mm. How could they be?
Yeah. Their molehills are always mountains.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Lists problems and ailments to anyone who will listen. We all know that person.
Yeah.
That
person. Uh-huh. I hope I'm sure we've been that person.
I'm sure we've been that person. I know we all do it to each other sometimes too. It's like, how often are we texting about the great thing?
Yeah.
Let's work on that again.
For real.
Okay. Takes everything personally. Mm-hmm. Mm. I think we have a whole podcast coming up on that. Feeling like you're stuck in negativity quicksand. Mm. I don't want that. Mm-mm. Self-absorbed and whiny and snivelly.
Oh.
Yay. Okay. How did we get here? No one wants to admit these things. We like attention and validation.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Why do you think three-year-olds are all super whiny and full of self-pity? Because it works and gets mom's attention.
Uh-huh.
When people don't feel heard or seen, they'll often go to any length to be heard and seen.
Yeah. Yes, they will.
Uh-huh. And self-pity is a tool in the toolbox of a person who feels unimportant. Yeah. We really want people to agree with us that this thing shouldn't have happened to me. And we want people to affirm that we have the right to be upset and agree that, yes, our life is very hard.
Just because it shouldn't have happened. I mean, that happens to all of us.
Yeah. Yeah. Every day there's stuff like that. But that's what we really want. We want someone to validate that.
Right. You're right. You're right.
That was sucky and terrible. And that's unfair.
You don't deserve it.
Yeah. Is that the best way to go about? No. The Gospel Coalition said this. People who wallow in self-pity are unhappy because their worthiness has gone unnoticed.
Oh. Not by Jesus.
Oh, hitting in with the sickle. Okay.
You're welcome. That's interesting, but I guess there's some truth in that, right? Like,
but I would like more fanfare. Please.
Nobody noticed this terrible thing. Like, and so I'm going to wallow, where maybe we wouldn't be so cut off at the knees if someone was like, oh, I'm, you know, like, you're right. But anyway, it's such a balance. Mm-hmm. And I know we're all thinking right now of that one person who sort of springs their current list of ailments or grievances on you the second you see them.
Right.
But we have to admit that's us.
Yeah.
Too. Mm-hmm. So we're all still the little kid pouting that life's not fair.
Yeah.
All the time.
Every day.
So I think first we need to be upfront and admit out loud that self-pity is often our first reaction.
Mm. Well, we're self-absorbed, right?
Oh, we're so self-absorbed.
Yeah.
Very, very few people let the bad stuff roll off their back.
Mm-hmm.
And we stink at moving on from negative experiences and negative moments.
Mm-hmm.
Zella Life called self-pity our knee-jerk reaction to external events or inner anxieties.
Mm.
Let me ask you guys this. Are either of you, do you feel rational and calm and ready to move forward when something even mildly upsetting happens?
You don't even have to finish the list.
No.
No. It can be even something like real small.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, I'm going to sit here and be mad about it.
Yeah. I didn't get the red cup. I wanted the red cup.
See, we're not even like mad for 5 minutes. It's like, no, this is going to wreck my whole day.
Right.
And I'm going to let everybody know.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're queens of overreaction.
Mm. Yeah.
And lament. I wrote, woe to us and welcome to the depths of despair.
Oh, Andrew.
We watched that as a family on Friday. It was my turn to pick movie night.
Which one? The Canadian one?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes, Megan follows. All right. So I think the next how do we get here is just pure habit. Pure habit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a habit built out of pessimism and complaint.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
I don't even think we hear ourselves complain how often we complain.
No, I don't think we do.
Because it's just how we talk.
Mm-hmm.
What happens when you complain, though?
It must release some kind of endorphin.
Weird, gross endorphins.
I know, but it must. We continue it. Right?
But what actually happens, too, is that the problem magnifies.
Ah.
And you start to see the world through a negative lens. Because complaint points out everything that's wrong.
Makes our life so much better.
Doesn't it?
We should all complain all day long. All
the
time.
And then you start to notice all the other stuff that's terrible. And then you get the next thing, confirmation bias.
Oh, no.
I shared in the traits that someone struggling with self-pity likes to ask, why does everything bad always happen to you? The problem with that question is that it distorts your mindset.
Right.
And then you start to look at the world through the lens of everything bad always happening to you. And we're going to see what we're looking for.
Yep.
It's true.
So, yeah. And then every small thing that happens because life is now a travesty happening to us.
And it can be silly stuff. I didn't get a good parking spot when I went to the store.
Yeah.
Which that's neither here nor there. But if you're looking at, if you're looking for negative, you're going to find everything.
Or just someone that you interacted with that's having a bad day that was a little bit short. No, that was about you and as a personal affront.
Right.
Yeah.
No, it just happens because of life.
Right.
But it's real easy to let that mindset color your whole world.
Yeah.
And then, so we're pessimistic and we complain all the time. And then we have confirmation bias, which changes our whole world. And then we start to let mild inconveniences ruin us.
Right.
Hi, I've been there.
I've been there this week.
Oh, yeah. A person struggling with self-pity doesn't just shrug and get on with the day when something doesn't go right. I would so love to be that person. I want to shrug and get on with my day. But no, we give in to the spiral. I wrote, the day be darned. I'm going to let this 5 minutes ruin everything. And that seems dramatic, but we do it all the time.
All the time.
All the time. And this behavior that we all recognize essentially started with a thought, why me? And it was over a minor inconvenience or a small thing that didn't happen to you. Or happened because the world is unfair and miserable. It happened because things happen.
Yeah.
And that led to a negative mindset that actively looks for proof that the world is against you. And that keeps you from being able to cope with things we should be able to brush off. Do you see this really fun cycle?
It's not a fun cycle.
It's not a fun cycle. But I think if we could just learn to see that, no, the world isn't happening to you. Things happen.
They do.
Things happen. If only we could shrug a little faster. We have things to pick up in the tornado spiral as an aside. I'm just throwing this in. We have those things to pick up because they're things we've avoided and haven't worked through or dealt with. So I didn't even have to work hard to make all those things flow together.
Right.
By the way, when I was coming up with this lesson, this bad habit just bleeds from one thing into the next and it affects your whole life.
Right.
Now, as fun as that little cycle was, I have two more reasons why I think we continue to indulge in self-pity. Are you ready for them?
Yeah.
The first is discontent.
Fair.
That's a word that's been popping up a lot lately.
Right.
Psych Central said, coupling mindfulness with gratitude can help encourage a sense of contentment, the opposite of what happens during self-pity. So I think that just really uncomfortably calls out what we're doing. And what's at the root of how we're feeling.
Right.
So I'm having a terrible month or everything is falling apart. Is for whatever reason, so much more palatable to us than I'm not content with my life right now.
Right.
Which is what it actually is.
But maybe that puts too much pressure on us because we're not doing anything to change.
Exactly.
That.
That's why we don't want to say the truth out loud.
So for us to, you know, wallow, tell you everything that's wrong with the life.
I think I'm getting there. And then we get to be the victim.
That's it. Right
there. And lastly, and this, oh my gosh, we're vibing again. Lastly, I think we struggle with self-pity and continue to indulge in it because Crystal just said it. It means we don't have to change. It's literally what I had written down. Like, whoa. BetterOff.com said when we're quote unquote having a pity party, which why is it called that? It's a terrible party.
But it's what we do. I mean, we celebrate it pretty much.
Anyway, they said we do that because in the moment it feels good. But it feels good because when we're living in self-pity, we don't have to be accountable for our feelings or actions toward improving the situation.
No, because we're celebrating how the world's out to get us.
Yeah.
And we have all this proof.
Well, that's a reason to buy balloons.
Yeah.
Like, brown balloons.
Yeah, like the sad it is your birthday balloons.
Yes.
We don't have to reckon with the fact that we're being entitled or discontent or admit that we're wallowing rather than trying to heal or move forward. Same is what we'll pick every time when the other choices change.
Right.
So I know pity. Forget change.
Right.
I'll just be sad. You want to hear some truth?
Yes. Okay.
These are terrible.
The truth are terrible?
Buckle in. Yeah, the truths are pretty bad. Because then sometimes dealing with the truth is very uncomfortable.
Fair.
Self-pity reduces your life to pain.
Ew.
That's horrible.
But true.
Okay.
Uh-huh. There is pain. First of all, let me just say, there's pain in everybody's life.
Yes.
And many of your days will include pain or hardship or challenges. Mm. Probably most of them. But self-pity removes all of the other. Self-pity stops seeing the beautiful and the good and the little moments of joy and the kindness of people, the progress you're making. It only sees the negative.
Just leaving yourself with peanut butter jelly beans. I don't like those ones.
Oh, they're good. I'll take those.
I don't think I've ever had a peanut butter jelly bean.
It tastes weird.
IdeaPod said, self-pity is a deep-seated feeling where one starts to view life through a lens of perpetual defeat and disappointment.
Yeah, that's a way to live.
Yeah. Small setbacks aren't just temporary hurdles. Mm. They're further proof that nothing ever goes right. Who wants that lens?
No. I don't.
But we put on those glasses every day. Mm-hmm. On purpose. And it doesn't just make our life all about the pain and sorrow and anger. It magnifies those things and makes them bigger and draws attention to them.
Oh, no.
Right? And it's not to heal them or get curious about the triggers. No. Like, not in the good way. It's, we want to stew.
Oh, no.
I mean.
We've all done that.
Oh, yeah. Do we really want our life to be all about sorrow, pain, anger, frustration, and felt injustices?
No.
No.
I don't.
That sounds horrible.
Horrible. I don't like that I'm choosing this.
Right.
Oh, the obvious answer is no, but then why are we spending so much time talking about it and stewing in it? Mm-hmm. What do we literally think we're going to get out of it? I want joy in my life, and I know self-pity is not the way to get it. In fact, as IdeaPod pointed out, when we're struggling with self-pity, even happy events are often overshadowed by a focus on what's missing or what could go wrong. That's garbage.
Yeah.
But I understand, and I've been there.
Right.
I mean, I've been there. I even think jumping in, like, at Disneyland. You're at Disneyland, and you're focused in on the family that just cut the line. And that one event, well, this happened to me, and now I have to wait 2 more minutes.
Right.
But that's my focus instead of I'm at stinking Disneyland in line for the Matterhorn. Like, who cares?
At every line you're in, somebody's going to cut the line. Yes. Just suck it up, buttercup.
We let so much just steal anything. Okay, truth number two. This is a pretty crummy way to think about other people.
That's true.
Yeah. When we're in a cycle of self-pity, we see every disagreement, miscommunication, situation where things don't go our way through the lens of being wronged or misunderstood. Right. Yeah. And then you go around collecting evidence to support the narrative that we're the victim. Yeah. And that means that we get to see everybody around us as out to get us or our enemy or somebody I can't trust.
That's terrible.
Yeah. And then how are you ever going to have good relationships?
You're not.
No.
No.
Well, when you're like this, nobody wants to be around you because we don't want to be around people that are like this.
No. No, we don't. The negative, complainy,
whiny.
Oh.
Find reasons to leave.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, we don't want to. Let's just go. We got our own problems.
Yeah.
We don't want to spend our whole day making you feel better about yours.
I hadn't really thought about this one, though. This is a really uncharitable way to view everybody else.
Yeah.
I mean, because we've talked about that. A lot of the times someone's reaction to, even if it's a negative one, isn't actually about you.
No.
I mean, and we've all, it's when we snap at someone we love. It's not usually about them.
No.
Okay. Here's another truth. It's very self-interested.
Yeah.
Mm.
Because this is kind of a no-brainer. Self-pity only sees self. Yeah. A small example that really hurts my feelings.
Mm.
Small example would be getting upset when a child's or a spouse's illness cancels something you are looking forward to.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But instead of having empathy that the situation is also affecting the ill person and everyone else in your house, you focus on what an inconvenience it is for you.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's not who we want to be.
No, we don't want to be that. That's terrible. It removes all empathy and compassion.
Right.
I thought a bigger example would be something like COVID, where people who were living and struggling with self-pity maybe thought of COVID as something that was wildly unfair to them, that happened to them, but it happened, yeah, it happened to everyone. But it was really easy to be like, no, this is happening to me and ruining my life. Yeah. Like, also everyone else's.
Right.
Yeah. So it also, you know, aside from just, yes, no, compassion and empathy, it also removes healing and the sense of community that can happen when we recognize we're experiencing something that someone else has also walked through.
Yeah.
Like that shared issue kind of thing. But when we're focused on our own problems, it's really hard to even tolerate someone else having a problem.
Right.
When I'm having a really, I mean, I've even had that sometimes, you know, with you guys or my family, when I'm having a horrible day and someone has a need, it's like, I can't even right now. I'll come back to the text thread in a few minutes because I am having my own stuff today. Yeah. That's terrible. I mean, it's terrible. It does happen. Yeah. Other people's problems seem really insignificant. And we write them off instead of recognizing that pain is part of the human experience. And we're actually not the only person who experiences pain.
What?
I know, right?
Not even for the day.
Like, Psych Central had this next one. It's just an energy suck.
Oh, yeah, that's it accurate. Is. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It really is a waste of your time. It literally serves no purpose whatsoever. It's a bad habit that we have adopted that not only doesn't fix your issue, it actually makes it worse.
Right.
Because truth number whatever, come in here, self-pity magnifies your problems.
Mm.
On one side I read it said that pity parties glorify our misery.
That's gross. I mean, that's what it does, right?
Glorify.
I know. That's not in a positive glorified way, but right? It does.
Like, I have very limited energy.
Yeah.
As is, why am I spending any of it on making my problems bigger?
Yeah.
Why?
But if we focus on it, it does.
Oh, it really, really does. Now, strong women out there committed to growth and life change, hear me on this.
Mm.
Self-pity is the opposite of resilience.
Mm.
Yeah.
And then I said, self-pity removes all your chumbawamba. Old millennials unite. Thank you. And my teenagers who are listening are like, what in the crud is mom talking about? When you get knocked down,
you get up again.
You ain't never gonna keep me down. Okay. Please don't drink the whiskey drink and the cider drinks, children. Okay.
No.
But it is. It's like willingly staying on the mat. Like, I'll just stay down.
That's the person that you yell at in the voice, get up,
Yes, you have more fight in you.
Yeah.
Listen, though. Last one. Nope, not. I'm lying.
Okay.
It's a choice. This is disgusting. It's a choice to willingly give away your power.
Mm. Why do we do this?
I do not know.
Rage pep talk to myself this morning.
Because we're glorifying it. We're making it. It's
such a bigger deal than...
Yeah, but giving our power away, we do that.
Yes, we do that. This is really ugly. Because when you're having self-pity...
It hasn't been ugly yet.
No. What you're actually saying is external factors are in charge of how I will feel, act, and respond.
Right.
I have no responsibility and no control. Do you know what I wrote in parentheses?
What did you
write? I can hear Jolene's voice saying, that's gross, as I typed this.
Well, I was just thinking something along those lines.
But it really is giving, like, well, I'm only going to be okay when.
And you're never going to be okay because if you're focusing on all these things, you'll continue that cycle.
Oh, yes, you will. This is from ZellaLife.com. One of the most alarming consequences is how self-pity feeds into a victim mentality. You start viewing life through a lens of, this is gross, perpetual disadvantage.
No, thank you.
No. Seeing obstacles as insurmountable and opportunities as unreachable.
Oh, goodness.
This mindset isn't just a passive state. It actively erodes your mental health.
Oh, oh no, no.
A victimized mindset narrows your worldview, making every negative experience confirm your worst fears and leaves no room for growth mindset principles. It's a cruel irony. By adopting the role of a helpless victim, you make it your reality.
Oh.
That's not cool.
It's not cool.
No.
No. No. Mm-mm.
I don't want to be a victim.
I don't want to be a victim either.
And a victim of myself.
Exactly. Oh. Exactly. That's why this is self-sabotage too. Like we're choosing.
It's like that Scooby-Doo villain, except you pull off the mask and you're like, oh, it was me.
It was me the whole time.
I'm not liking this.
No. IdeaPod said, in victim mode, everything is something that happens to you rather than a situation you're an active participant in.
Right.
It's a passive stance where you feel powerless and at the mercy of others and circumstances.
Right.
Therefore, the essence of combating self-pity lies in being proactive rather than reactive. Mm-hmm. So let's get to some tips.
Okay.
Ready for some tips?
Yeah.
Okay.
We don't want to live like this.
Here, I know. I don't want to either. Number one, set a timer. We have actually done this with our teenage children. Mm. Let yourself feel badly, bemoan the thing, etc., but for a limited time.
Okay, fair.
Okay.
We have told them before, okay, this is a terrible thing. I'm sorry it happened to you. You have 15 minutes to go feel badly about it in your bedroom, and then you're going to kind of come down and go on with the rest of your day. Mm. Feel bad about it, feel your feelings, and then you're done.
Okay.
You might still feel bad about it, but the point is you're only going to let it take 15 minutes of your day where you're not doing anything else.
Sucking self-pity, self-absorbed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or it's like, okay, yeah, I'm still going to be sad or angry, but I'm going to join in
to life.
Live life, yeah.
Change your language.
Oh.
Instead of saying things always happen to me, say instead, sometimes things happen. Mm-hmm. David's favorite thing to tell me is, this is just a thing. Mm-hmm. Says that to me all the time. No, this isn't a tragedy. This is just a thing. It's just a thing that happened. Mm-hmm. Okay, here we go. Stop just talking about the problems.
Yes.
Look for the solutions. Mm-hmm. Can it be fixed? Can it be helped? Can it be made 10% better? Mm-hmm. Now, me crying about feeling overwhelmed when I was having that situation with David where I didn't know what was wrong. Me crying about feeling overwhelmed. He actually, so that was the day I skipped out some. I didn't know what was wrong. I had to journal it. I had to think it through. I was crying. And I realized at the end, the feeling was, I am overwhelmed. I am burnt out. Mm-hmm. I am not getting time alone as an introvert. Mm-hmm. And you know what? He gave me a solution and Yay. I took it. Yay! And it's helping and changing my life.
Right.
So. I could have just carried on forever. I'm overwhelmed. But instead, sometimes the man who wants to give the solution has the solution that can help you.
Mm.
We just got to take it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This one is really important. Have a social media detox.
Please do.
Because I don't know if you know this, but comparison is going to feed self-pity.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Real bad. Yes, it does. Serve.
Yes.
Studies suggest that people who take an active role in helping their community are happier people.
Yeah.
And service helps you gain awareness that struggle is not an us condition. It's a human.
Like a we.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Everybody's got problems. And you kind of figure that out when you go help at the food bank. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody has something. Mm-hmm. Everybody.
Right.
Have a gratitude journal. Seriously, if you're not doing this yet,
this
start.
Whole time, that is exactly where in my head I was like, I really should do that. We talked about it a lot, but I don't actually
almost every
follow
week.
Through.
Yeah. I'm just going to keep telling you to do it.
It's how we change our mindset, right?
Yes.
If we're changing from looking from the worst things to the good things of the day, we're not going to stay in this self-pity. I like the timer thing, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm also going to add in here with coupled with gratitude is we need to go back to doing that delight.
Yes, I love it.
I love doing delight. And I seldom do. Just the small little things, just delight. This one is really tough, but I think it would change your world. Try to go one day without complaining.
Mm-hmm. That's hard.
I think even if we'd probably fail. But even in the trying,
you're going to make improvements.
Yes. And you might become more aware.
I was thinking that. Yeah.
Yeah. And hear yourself doing it.
Like, oh, wow.
I don't think we realize.
We complain a lot.
All the time. It's even in our answer to how are you doing?
I'm so tired.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Idealpod.com had this one. Ask yourself, am I really a victim in this situation? No. Or is this a perspective I've chosen?
Mm.
It's probably a perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There are real victims. Most of the things we're feeling victimized by are not those things. The last one is face your feelings. Mm-hmm. Psychology Today said,
not easy, but yes, right.
Mentally strong people allow themselves to experience emotions like grief, disappointment, and loneliness head on. Mm-hmm. They don't distract themselves from uncomfortable emotions by questioning whether their problems are fair or by convincing themselves they've suffered more than everyone else. They know the best way to deal with discomfort is just to get through it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Uncomfortable, but true. You ready for some real?
Yes. Okay.
All right. So we haven't yet talked about how our mindset about God plays into self-pity, mm-hmm. but it's there, painfully there.
Mm-hmm.
Desiring God said this. At root, the sin in self-pity, who wants to go there?
Mm-hmm.
The sin in self-pity is that we assess ourselves and our circumstances as though God is not our gracious Father.
Mm-hmm.
When we take God out of the picture, when his pity for us in the death and resurrection of his Son with the continued help of his Spirit isn't enough, mm-hmm. we turn to ourselves for love and pity. When we believe there are gaps in God's love and we use our circumstances as proof, we tend to take action to fill in those gaps with self-love or self-pity. Now, there's a better way. Yeah. You didn't know. The author of the article on desiringgod.com talked about David and how he certainly had reasons to feel self-pity. There was lots going on and lots going wrong in David's life. And he lamented and he grieved and he felt the injustices, but he did all of that in conversation with God.
Mm-hmm.
And he took those feelings to God in prayer and talked them out.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite things to do in scripture is see how David's talks with God start and how they end.
Yeah.
Because it feels so familiar where we start off, woe is me and kill all of my enemies and I am terrible. And then ends up, God, you are so good.
Right.
Thank you for helping me. Like, that just shows prayer works. Talking right. things through to God works.
Right.
But self-pity keeps us focused on ourselves and our problems. We're not looking at who God is or how he loves us. We're forgetting that God is sovereign, kind, and for us. And it's only when we look back at Jesus and recognize his love for us that our self-pity begins to die.
Right.
The Gospel Coalition said this, self-pity turns your gaze to yourself and your wounds.
Right.
Fighting self-pity requires looking up to the crucified Jesus. By his wounds, we are healed. This life is not about my suffering, but it's all about his and why he suffered for me. Because he loves me, wanted to know me, and that kind of removes any reason to keep up the pity.
Yeah.
Boom. We love you.
Yeah.
Thanks for walking through this hard mess with us.
Right.
We will be back next week to talk about blame shifting. Tough one, good one. We love you. See you next week.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Girl on a Hill podcast. Please help us out by sharing the podcast with your friends, connecting with us on social media, and leaving a review on Apple Podcast. We're here to climb the hill with you as we all work to stop hiding, start shining, and be the women we were created to be. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week.